is Daf Kuf Tes Vav. So we got to the bottom of Kuf Yudal Amin Beis. The Gemara was talking about eating chazeres and karpas, and what if a person has maror for both his karpas and also for the mitzvah maror? So the Gemara explains that Pshita Heicha Deika Shayirakos Mivarech Ashayirakos Borei Pri Adama. It's clear that a person has other vegetables to use for karpas. He should use other vegetables and say the Borei Pri Adama V'achal and eat it as karpas V'hadar Mivarech Alachis Maror V'achal. And he should then, later on, when the time of Mara, he should say bracha v'achias Mara on actual Mara and eat it then. But heicha delek elachas, if the person only has lettuce, and lettuce is used for Mara as well. So my, what's the halacha? How should the seder of brachos go if he's using lettuce both for karpas and also for Mara? So the Gemara explains, Amar Rav Huna mevarech meikara amara, borei pi adama. First you say adama on Mara when you're eating it as karpas, v'achil you eat it then. Ulvasof, later on, when you use it for the mitzvah mara, mivarach aleh al achilas mara v'achel. And then later on, you say a bracha of achilas mara on the same lettuce later on during the seder. So Gemara asks a question. Maskev la Rav Chista, going on to Daf Kuf Tezvav, Rav Chista asks the question, la achar shemile kreso, hey manu, chos mivarach aleh, you already filled yourself up from lettuce for karpas, then after the fact, you're going to say al-achiz mar later on during mar. Granted, you're having it one as part of karpas, one as part of mar, but you already ate this food. It's very strange to say al-achiz mar after you ate lettuce earlier. Now again, even though you're eating lettuce again now, it's very strange to delay the bracha of al-achiz mar. So therefore, the Gemara explains two lines down on Kuf Tezvav Amun Aleph, Ela Amri of Chista, Meikara Mivarach Aleh Borei Priya Adama, the al-achiz mar v'achil. So really what you should do, if you're having lettuce as your karpas and as your mara, you should say both brachas during the karpas and eat it. And ilvasof, achil achis chasa below bracha. And then at the end, you eat mara again, but you don't need to say any of the brachas because you said both brachas earlier. Fine, so that's the understanding of the Gemara. So basurya of the kravuna. In the surya, that's how they practice like ravuna. And then rav sheshes, reid of yeshua, avid krav chista. So Rav Huna was the first opinion. He's the one who felt he should say Al-Chiyas Mar later on. But Rav Sheshes, passing like Rav Chista, that person should say it both brachas earlier. V'hilchasa kivasa de Rav Chista, and that's why passing you should say both brachas during karpas. V'acha breda Rava Mahadar Asha Yirakos lafuke nafshe mipluksa. And therefore, V'acha, in order to avoid himself being stuck in a machlokis, he therefore said he tried really hard to find other vegetables, to have some other vegetables for karpas, and then use mara for the mitzvah of mara. So Gemara, look at Tosis for a second. V'hadar, it's lower let down in the Gemara. The Umask of V'hadar, he writes, V'hadar achel chasa b'lo bracha. That if a person had been using lettuce for karpas, again, you say both brachas during karpas, and then later on when you have lettuce, you don't say any bracha. V'nira, de'ein tzarech levarach b'ar pri adama, you don't need to say adama, even though afagav dehagadah have a hefsek. So wait a second, you said adama during karpas, you had all the different parts of the seder, you had the agada, and later on after the agada, you have matzah mara. So that's a huge hefsek. So shouldn't you require a new adama? So he says, afagav dehagadah have a hefsek, kid appreciates la'el, v'lo mifta b'bracha shel tivav rishon, and therefore the bracha of adama that was said on karpas really should not cover the adama needed for the mara. He says, mikol makom birchas hamotzi potartan. But when you say hamotzi on matzah, that exempts the need to say adama on mara again. T'havle dvarm habam b'soch hasuda machmas hasuda. We know that when you say hamotzi, it covers all the foods during the meal, so the mara is considered during the meal, and therefore there is no need to say another bracha. Because vegetables, sharei, says Tosos, yirakos, gorin halev, it causes a person to be hungry, it whets the appetite, it's part of the suda, and kari le'nami, we saw in the Mishnah the other day, that mara is called parparas hapas, which makes you hungrier for bread, it makes you part of the meal. So that's the halacha, says Tosos. So back in the Gemara now, around eight lines down, the Gemara says, Amr Avina, Ravina says, Amr li Rav Mishar Shebered Rav Nosan, Hachi Amr Hillel. Hillel said, Mishmei the Gemara, he had a certain misara, Lo nichroch inish matzah umarar bade hadade. A person should not have korich of matzah and marar together. V'nechel, why not? Why shouldn't you have such a thing called korich? Mishum desir lan, because we hold matzah bizman hazeh is deraisa. Umarar is only dirabanan. V'asi marar dirabanan umivatale the matzah deraisa. So this is a it's a deep topic here. But we'll just take Rashbam's understanding here. Rashbam says the reason is that the maror is such a strong flavor, it's mevatel, the flavor of the matzah. Now, if they're both deraisas, that wouldn't be of concern. But since the maror is only derabanan and has a very strong tam, it's going to knock out the taste of matzah. So therefore, in bizman hazeh, a person should not do karech. And he says further in the Gemara, v'afilu man damar matzos, mitzvos rather, ein mevat lazuadzu. Even if you say normally that two mitzvahs cannot cancel each other out when done together, hani mili, that's only true if they're both deraisa b'deraisa, o derabanan b'derabanan. They're both the same level of stringency, both deraisa, both derabanan. It's a vow at the moment. One's a deraisa, the other one's a derabanan, asid derabanan and mevatale the deraisa. And therefore, since bizman hazeh, mara is only a mitzvah midirabanam, therefore a person should not have it together with matzah. So the Gemara then says, man tana d'shmasle mitzvos e mevat lezutzu. Who is the one who holds that two mitzvahs are not mevat to each other? That's none other than Hillelhi. The Tanya, the Brisa says that Amru alav al Hillel, who said about Hillel, shehoya korchan mevas achas, he would actually do korchan korech v'ochan, he eat them together. Shenemar amatzos merom yochlu, that you eat them together. If you look at Rashbam for the explanation here, Rashbam says, yochlu kol echad b'fnei atzmo, each one you should eat independently. So it was said, again, this is the first Mount number. We'll see Hillel in just a second. But the first part of the Brisa says that you have to, again, you eat it as if it's one unit, one entity. You eat them together. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Chokan alav chaver of al Hillel. But the friend of Hillel argued on Hillel. They said to Tanya, Yachol ye korcham bevas achas, one might think, you should do korech and wrap together matzah and maror, the ochlan, eat them together, kiderech shehil ochlan, eat them the way Hillel ate them is one. Tamalomar, amatos umrom yochluhu, v'afilu zebifniatzmo, you could eat them individually if you want as well. So it sounds like from this Gemara here, it's very strange because the Gemara says they argue in Hillel. The way that Bryce presents it says, no, they agreed that you can wrap them together or even eat them separately. So not really arguing Hillel. They said either together or separately. So the Gemara just tweaks this Brysa, Maskevla Rav Ashi, Ihachi Mayafilu. If they really argue, they should say, you're not allowed to eat them as Karech. They said you can eat them as Karech and you can even eat them separately as well. So the Gemara tweaks the Brysa and says, Ela Amar Rav Ashi, Haitana Hachi Katani. This is what it means to say. Yachol lo yetze behu yadecha vaso, elam kein korchan bivas achas, v'ochlan kiderch shehilol ochlan. One might have thought, the Brisa says, the only way maybe you could be yotze the mitzvah matzah, if you have them together like korich, like the sheet of Hillel, tamalomer amatos umrom yochlu, afilu zebifne atzmo, you don't need to have them together, you're allowed to have them together, but you don't need to. So again, Hillel holds, you must have them together as korich, and the other opinion holds that you can have them together, or you can have them separately. So the Gemara says, "Hashta delo itmar hilchas alo kehila of lo kribanim." Since we don't have a clear statement how we paskin that you need karech or you don't have to do karech, therefore mevarech al achilas matzah v'achel. We first say the brach of achilas matzah on the matzah, and we eat it. V'hadar mevarech al achilas mara v'achel. Then we say the brach of mara eat it, and then v'hadar achel matzah v'chasa v'hadar hadadeh. Then we eat them together. Below bracha, zecher, lemikdash, kehilo. That's how we pass it, of course. That's the Seder we do in the house. So there's an interesting point they make here, that the Lashon of Korech means to wrap around, not a sandwich. It means to wrap around. So you can only wrap around if you have the matzahs like the Sfarim have, some Sfarim have, where it's like a lafa. We can actually wrap the lafa around the mar. But if you have the matzahs that we have, the crackers, you can't wrap that at all. It's set. So this is a raya, not that we need a raya, it's clear that the matzahs of the Sfarim are certainly okay. The Rama writes that you can't have thick matzahs. What's thick matzahs? A tefach is considered too thick. So anything less than that is not called thick. So certainly the lafas are allowed. It's considered matzah. The Rama brings down nonetheless the Ashkenazim have the practice to make them very, very small like crackers. But lemaisa, you can't really do korech. So if Shechter actually, what he does for korech, he wraps the lettuce around the matzah because that does wrap around. The lettuce can wrap around the matzah. So that's how he accomplishes korech. But that's not, doesn't seem to be the common practice. We just have a sandwich. Now, what comes out from this as well, whether or not a person needs to say a bracha on korech. So the Gemara clearly says you don't need to say korech on the bracha. Why not? Because the Gemara says it's zeich lemikdash. You don't say brachas on that which is zeich lemikdash necessarily. But the Torah says, no, the reason why you don't need to say bracha on korech is because the bracha of matzah and the bracha on maror cover the korech as well. And therefore, the Torah says a person should not be mafsik at all. The moment they start eating the matzah, that process, they should not stop talking until they finish the matzah, the marah and korech, because the brachas of marah and matzah are going also on korech as well. So a person needs to be careful not to interrupt during that seder. So then the Gemara says last two lines of the Amidim. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Oshaya, kol she tibula b'mashke, tarach netiyas edayim. Anything that you dip into liquid, you have to wash your hands. If you look at Rashbam, the last Rashbam on the page, kol she tibula b'mashke, kigon yerek b'kutach or b'chomet. Let's say you're taking a vegetable, you're dipping it into some type of milk, or into vinegar, tarach netiyas edayim mishum mashke. You have to wash your hands. Why do you have to wash your hands? Because she'adayim shneios, the Gemara in Shabbos says, that there goes there, everybody's hands, that they did have a secondary tumah to them, a din d'rabbanan. V'chal post it's a tumah, mitame mashkim lios tchila. Now they made a klal, that if the hands are able to be mitame tumah, they could also be mitame mashkim. So if you touch the liquid, your liquid is now going to be pasul, it's not going to be tar, it's going to be tame. And therefore, before dipping anything into liquid, you should first wash your hands, lest your hands touch the liquid, touch the chomech, touch the kutach, and make it tame. That's the din. So the Gemara says, Amar Papa, Shema Amina, we can learn from here that this din, because we know we wash our hands before dipping in the karpas into the salt water. So why do you wash your hands? It must be. Because we're going to touch the salt water and when they're dipping in the karpas. So Papa concludes from here, Shema Amina, Hai Chasa, when it comes to dipping in the lettuce in, Hai Chasa, Tzarech L'shkuye B'charosis. So the maror, just like the karpas goes in the salt water, the maror goes in the charoses, and he says you have to tzarech l'shkuye b'charoses. Shkuye means to stick the whole thing in. Typically what we do is we put a little bit of charoses on it and we shake it off. According to this, you're supposed to immerse the entire maror into the charoses. Why? Mishim kappa. What's kappa? If you look at Rashbam, Rashbam writes, tzarech l'shkuye b'charoses mishim kappa. The eris, there's some venom. The sharpness of the maror can be very dangerous. Just like onions have that sharp flavor, so tomorrow has a sharp flavor. Since you're dipping it inside the charoses, so it should soften the venom that's there. So you're going to dip it into the charoses, says Rashbam. Now you're going to touch the mashkim. If I take the whole lettuce and I dip it inside the charoses, the whole thing, I'm going to touch the charoses, which has a din of a mashke, has a din of a liquid. And therefore, I have to wash my hands first, so I don't make the charoses tame. That's where the Gemara concludes. Because the sakadatech, back inside the Gemara, if one would have thought, lo tzarech l'shguye, that you don't have to immerse the entire chazeres into the charoses, nitiyas edayim lamli, what's the need? If I take the end of the lettuce and just dip a little bit in, that's enough. Must be I need to immerse the whole chazeres inside the charoses. So again, the Gemara says this hakadaitech lo tzarech l'shkuye, that you don't have to immerse the whole thing. Netiyas yadayim lama halonaga. I'm not touching the charoses. Elamai, you must immerse the entire chazeres inside the charoses. Gemara says not true. V'dumo li'olam emelcha lo tzarech l'shkuye. Maybe the truth is you don't have to immerse the entire chazeres inside the charoses. The kappa meirecha mice, and maybe the venom that's there, the sharpness, will die simply from the smell, from the aroma of the charoses, the sweet flavors of the charoses. Simply putting the chazeres near it, maybe the recha alone will kill all that eres, and you don't actually have to dip it in. So why wash your hands? Elalamali the tiasadayim. Because Dilma, Mishakayalu, maybe the guy will accidentally dip it in. But you don't have to dip it in, but that might happen. A guy might want to dip it in. He might decide to dip it in. And since you might decide to dip it into the charoses, and your hands will touch the charoses and be matami the charoses, for that reason there's a need to wash hands. But not that the chazeres needs to be dipped entirely in. So there's a machlokas again. What causes this eres to die from the maror? Is it the dipping in the charoses entirely, or simply the recha, the aroma of the charoses is enough to kill it? So Gemara then says, Amar Papa, Papa says, Lo nishe inish maror b'charoses. A person should not keep the maror in the charoses for too long. Dilma, agav, chalya, the tavlin, perhaps from the spices, the sweets, the apples, the wine, whatever you put in the charoses, perhaps that's going to be mevatele l'marura. It's going to wipe out the flavor of the maror. Uba'in and tamar v'lek, and everybody agrees you need to taste the maror. If you keep it in too long, it's going to wipe out that taste, and you will not fulfill the mitzvah of achilas maror. The Gemara now says, Adabre Rav Chista, the Ravana Ukva. One time Rav Chista was escorting Ravana Ukva. the Darish and Ravana Upka was darshaning Nata Yadava B'tivul Rishon, Nata Yadava B'tivul Sheni. We know we do two dippings during the night of the Seder. One time we dip the karpas in salt water, then we dip the maror in charoset. So he says you need to dip twice and then wash hands before each of these dippings. So he says, Amru Rabbanan Kamed Rav Papa. So the Talmidim said to Rav Papa, Haba Alma Itmar, this statement that Mar Ukva, Ravana Ukva was making must have been in general. In general, in other words, if a guy's having a meal on a random Tuesday night, and he dips twice, he needs to wash his hands two times. Why? Because when you dip the first time, you don't plan to dip a second time. So there's a Hesach Adas. I washed my hands for the first dipping. I got hungry for another dipping later on, so I washed a second time. There's a Hesach Adas. Because Disagadaita, if one would have thought, Hacha Itmar, it was said here. It was said on a night like Leil Seder, Lamali Netzias Adayim Trei Zimne. Why do you have to wash your hands two times on the Leil Seder? You already washed your hands one time. What's the need to wash two times? So it must be in general that this statement was said. You need to wash separately for each dipping. So Amr Lahu Rapapa. Rapapa says, Adrabba, I would have said the opposite. Hacha Itmar, it was said Dafka here. It was Dafka said in a Leil Seder. Because this Hakadaita Chabam Itmar, if you were to say, he's referring to a general meal in the rest of the year that he had two dippings. So Lamali Trei Tivula. Why then would you require two washings of hands? So Elamai, Hach Itmar was really said about the night of Seder. So why do you have to wash hands two times in the night of the Seder? Netiyas Yadayim Trei Zimnei Lamali. So HaMashula Yadacha Zimnei. Didn't you already wash your hands one time? So answers the Gemara, Amri Kaven Dibay Lememra Agarata VeHalela. Since a person washed your hands for Karpas, and then afterwards he said the Haggadah, and then he said Halel, it was a long time. Dilma Asucha Ascha L'dayte V'naga. Perhaps he wasn't paying attention. His hands touched a part of the body that was dirty, and that's why he needs a second washing in the night of the Seder, because there's a big hefsek between the first time he dipped and the second time he dipped the food in. So then the Gemara is halfway down the page. One of the famous Gemaras in Nepsachim, Amar Rava, Bala Matza Yata, Balamara lo yatsa. If a person swallows matzah, he has fulfilled the mitzvah even though he didn't taste it. He just swallowed up. If a person swallows maror, he's not yotze the mitzvah. If you look at the Rashbam says, last few narrow lines, Rashbam says, Balamatza velo lasa. He didn't chew. He just swallowed the matzah whole. Or he maybe crushed it up first and then swallowed it. He's yotze the mitzvah. Sherei kaim be'erev tochel matzah. He ate the matzah. That's called an achila. Sherei achila hilo. Certainly, l'chachila, you're supposed to taste it. You're supposed to chew the matzah, taste the matzah, and then swallow it. But even without the ta'am matzah, an achila works as well. As opposed to mara, says the Rashbam, bala mara lo yatza, deba'inan ta'am mara. You need to taste the mara v'leka. The mishim hachi, kapad rachmana l'mara es piv shel ochel. We want the person to have the bitter flavor in his mouth. He says, "Shalochel zecha leviyamaru es chayem," that they had the bitter, life. The avdus and mitraim was very bitter, so we have to mamish taste it. So swallowing mar would not create the tam. The tam is ma'akev the mar, but the tam is not ma'akev the matzah. Now, based on this din here, that the matzah you could swallow the matzah. Rav Moshe talks about a situation if an old man doesn't have teeth. Does not have the ability to chew the matzah. What's he supposed to do? They said you're allowed to just crush it for him and you can just swallow it whole. That would be allowed. But then Ramosha says maybe that's not true. Maybe this only works, then that bala matzah works if the guy decided to do so. Right, if I decided to swallow the matzah, so for me, that's what's called achshavei. I decide that this is called an achila for me. But the guy who has no teeth, that's less like bravery. He has no choice. He didn't decide to do that. He's stuck in doing that. Moshe says maybe only if a guy wants to do it does a bala matzah work, but a guy who doesn't want to, he's forced to do it, maybe that wouldn't work. But in the end there, Moshe concludes that even a guy who doesn't have any choice, a zaken, if you just squash and crush up the matzah and he swallows it, that would work as well. He can fulfill the mitzvah of matzah. Take a look at, I keep going in the Gemara. Now the Gemara says again, bala matzah yata, bala mara lo yata, bala matzah umaru, if you swallow them together in the one shot, Yidei matzah yatza, yidei mara lo yatza. You do fulfill your mitzvah of matzah, but you don't fulfill the mitzvah of mara. If karchan besiv, let's say, however, you wrap it in a sieve, you wrap it in some type of covering, it could be a piece from like a date tree or something, you cover it up, uban, you swallow the matzah with the sieve wrapped around it, af yidei matzah nami lo yatza. That too, actually, you wouldn't even be yotze matzah in that case. Why wouldn't you be yotze matzah? So again, you put the matzah in some type of wrapping, you drink it or eat it that way, that doesn't work. Why not? You look at the Tosos, or rather Rashbam writes around halfway down the medium wide lines down, Karachan Shneim Yachad Besiv HaGadol Saviv HaDekel. It's some type of thing that grew around the Dekel tree, some type of wrapping. Lo Yatze, one has not fulfilled the Chiv. Sherei Lo Haya Mamish Befiv Lo Zev Lo Zev. It wasn't in your mouth. You didn't touch it. But Karachan Evan Lechem HaSdam is like throwing a rock into a vat of some sort. You're not yod to the mitzvah. Now this actually becomes very relevant. Sometimes you have medication that a person needs to take. And he must take it. And there could be chametz on it. Or even the rest of the year, it could be not kosher. He needs a medicine, but it's not kosher. It's flavoring it. And you can't have non-kosher medicine. And if you need to, you need to. You have no choice. Bikuach nefesh. But let's say you're stuck. So one of the etzos is to wrap the medicine in a tissue paper and swallow that way. That would not be considered achila. You wouldn't taste the flavor. It wouldn't be considered achila. And based on the sugya, that's a very big heter for a certain type of medications, both for Pesach and the rest of the year. Take a look now at Tosas Dibur Maschil Yedei Matzah Yatza Yedei Mar Lo Yatza. This was the case where you put the matzah and mar together and you swallow them whole, so you fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, but not that of mar. So asks Tosfos, Vim Tomar Kevin Shein B'mar Zeh Mitzvah Midirbanan Libatel Mar Lahai Matzah D'Behadei. So since they said shouldn't the mar, which is derbanan, shouldn't that be mivat the mitzvah of matzah? How could it work when you have them together? V'yeshlomar D'Shlo Shayach Bittel. We saw an Amud Aleph. If you have maror with matzah, the maror is mevatel the matzah. But he says that's only true if you're chewing the matzah and the maror. So by chewing the maror, the flavor is so strong and potent, it's going to wipe out the flavor of the matzah. Aval kishem shlemu, when you have them whole and you swallow them whole, since you're not chewing it, it's not creating, it's not generating the flavor of the maror, in which case he says, then afili he yosem michaveru lo mevatel, it will not create any bittul. So bittul is only true if you're chewing them and the flavors are coming out, but when you're not chewing them, then the maror does not have the ability to be mevatel the matzah. Back inside the Gemara now, actually one interesting thing, by the way, when it comes to swallowing matzah, we said bala matzah yata, bala mara lo yata. Why not? Because mara requires tam. Matzah doesn't require tam, mara doesn't require tam. So there's an interesting, Minchas Chinuch says, this is true of all foods. The person, let's say, decides to swallow Karban Pesach, decides to eat kachem by swallowing it, but not chewing it, he says, just like your yotzei matzah, so to your yotzei eating a carbon pesach, if you swallow it, even though you didn't chew it. It's a special exception by maror, where you need tam maror, that you have to actually chew the maror, swallowing wouldn't work. But there's a quote of Sefer called Heich Leshein, who argues, he says, not true. When it comes to kachem, this would not work. You have to actually chew the kachem. Why? You don't have to have the tam of kachem. He says a different reason. The pasuk tells us you have to eat kederach hamlachim. It says l'chan nesatim l'mashcha. L'mashcha means the Gemara says you have to eat the carbon like a king. And since a king doesn't swallow food, a king chews the food. He enjoys the food. Therefore, swallowing of the kachem, swallowing karm pesach would not work either. You actually have to chew it, not because of the tam, a different reason than that of mara, but the reason of kederach hamlachim. So these are two different areas where, although in general being balei something is considered achila. But by maror, we need tam. By karbanos, we need kederach malachim. Swallowing wouldn't be sufficient. You would actually have to chew it and eat it that way. So then the Gemara says further. Gemara says, Amar of simi bar ashi matzah, lifnei kol echad v'echad. Maror, lifnei kol echad v'echad. V'charoses, lifnei kol echad v'echad. The din is that way back then, you know, they used to eat, each person had their own table. It wasn't like a big table where everybody sat around in chairs. Each person had their little small table. They ate next to the other guy with another small table. So in front of each person, they had to have their own matzah, their own mar, their own chayroses. Now when it came to the Ein Okrin, as a shulchan, el lefnei misha omer hagada. Now when they removed the tables, if you look in the hagadas, there are certain points where they take away the hagada, or rather where they take away the table. So when they take away the table, they only take away the table from the guy who's saying the hagada. So that they won't take everyone's table away, just the guy saying the hagada. Now, what's also interesting here is, it seems that, I don't know, everyone has their own practice what they do in their house for Seder, but it seems from this Gemara and other Gemaras that one guy would say it for everybody else. He'd be motzi everybody else. Not everybody would say the Agada. One guy would say the Agada, and they'd all listen. He'd be teaching everybody else. The Baal Bas, the father, would be teaching everybody. He'd be the one saying the Agada. Now, some have the practice to go around and take turns. Some have the practice where everybody says it, but it sounds like from the Gemara that one person says it, and he's motzi everybody else with the Agada. So only his table is taken away. So then the Gemara says, "V'hilchasa k'Rav Huna." We pass like Rav Huna. The guy, I skipped a line. Rav Huna Amar, "Kulu nami lifnei misha omer hagada." He said that no, all the matzah, all the maror, all charos is in front of the guy saying the gada. Not that they each have their own kara. It's all in the kara of the guy saying the gada, and he gives out to them. That's how Rav Huna felt. And therefore, Hilchasa k'Rav Huna, that's how he passed like Rav Huna. So look at the Rashbam. Rashbam writes, matzah l'fnei kol echad v'yechad. He writes last few medium lies down, up rather, minik shalahen haya lahasev alamitos. They used to have the practice to lie down on benches or beds. Each one had their own individual and their own personal table. Each one has to have their own matzah and their own mar. About Lididan, according to what we have, now what we have in our day is that there's one table, and there's one big table, and there's only the kara in front of the guy leading the seder, so he has all the matzah and marah, and he gives it out to everybody else. So then, if you look at Tosas writes here, matzah lefnei kol echad echad v'yachad mar. What's the reason why the Gemara suggested that each individual person and each individual table should have their own matzah and their own marah, as opposed to one guy giving it out? Tosas writes, the reason is, near the taima, k'dei sheyitom take off lebracha miyad. Because if they said the bracha, now he's got to wait till the father gives out the food. This way it's right in front of him. This way there's no hefsek. That would be the ideal. Kevin shezosa bracha l'shem chova. Ava b'shayim ha'shana, de'ein ha'bracha chova, ein tarach litom, take off the bracha miyad. So if it's a bracha that's a chiv somehow, I don't know why that is. When the bracha is a chiv, you have to eat immediately. When the bracha is not a chiv, but there's a bracha anyway, you're saying the bracha ha'motzi, so then it's enough to give it out. So I don't know the svar entirely, but it has to do somehow to minimize the hefsek between the bracha and eating, but the practice is not that way. The practice is to have the Baal Agada have the food and divvy it out after saying the bracha. So then the Gemara says further, Amri debei Rab Yanai, Lama, Okunis HaShulchan. What was the reason why they removed the table? So the Gemara explains, as this is the default answer, Amri debei Rab Yanai, Kideshi Akira Tinokos Vishalu. So the children should say, wait a second, we didn't have the meal yet, and you're already taking away the Agada? What happened to everything? We started saying Ma'ashana or whatever we were saying. Then you take away the matzah and the marah. Doesn't make any sense. We want them to ask questions, so that's just to, again, get them engaged. So Abai Hava Yosef Kamidu Rabba. One time Abai was sitting in front of Rabba. Chazad Dekam Midlei Tacha Mekama. He saw that they were moving the table. So Amri La Adayin La Ka'achlinan. So, and Asan Ka Ma'akre Tacha Mekama. We didn't eat yet, and you're already moving the table. Amri Le, Rabba says to Abai, oh, Patartim Milomer Ma'ashana. You're exempt from saying Ma'ashana. You asked the right question. And since you knew how to ask the question, we don't have to go through the formal statements of Ma'ashana. We want you to be engaged, and you asked the proper question, excellent, you are exempt, therefore. Okay, so let's stop here and let me quickly recap. We start off the Gemara talking about the order of what to say when you have only lettuce, you're using lettuce both for karpas and for chazeres. So we had two opinions, whether you say Bari Pri Adama and Al-Chiz Mara, so you split up Adama in the beginning, Al-Chiz Mara when you eat the Mara, or should you say both? When eating the lettuce in the beginning, it's karpas, and we paskin that if you're only using lettuce, you should say both adama and al chizmara at the stage of karpas. But the Gemara concluded that it's best certainly to use other vegetables for karpas and not mara, so as not to get involved in this machlokas. And then we discussed the shittas of Hillel, that there's one Hillel quoted from some individuals, or Mesora, that you should not have matzah and mara together, because mara is derabanan, it's mevatel matzah deraisa. But then Hillel himself said a person should have karich, and we do karich as a zecher lemikdash. Others say you don't have to have karich, you can have karich. You can have them separately as well. So there's different opinions whether you should have matzah and marah separately or whether you should have them as karech. And then we discussed washing of the hands. And we had two opinions whether or not marah needs to be totally immersed in charoses to lose its venom, or it's enough to simply put it near it, and the aroma of the charos is enough to mevatel it. And that we said depending on what the reason why to wash hands is, because you're touching it or because maybe you're going to touch the charoses. And then the Gemara says you need to wash hands both for the Tivo Rishon and the Tivo Sheni. Why? Because since the Haggadah and the Halal was a separation, a hefsek, between the first dipping and the second dipping, there might have been a Hesach Hadas, and therefore you have to repeat the washing of hands later on during the meal. And then the Gemara discussed Bala Matzah Yatza, Bala Mara Lo Yatza, and then the wrapping of the sieve around the matzah, even that wouldn't be good, that would not be considered a normal Achila. And then lastly, the Gemara discussed about having separate Mara Matzah in front of each person, or we only have it in front of the Baal Haggadah, to which the Gemara concluded we only have it in front of the Baal Haggadah, the Matzah Mara, and he gives it out. And then finally, about the Indian of removing the table in order to engage the children so that they should ask questions of the Manashtana. Okay, everybody have a wonderful day.